Well, great morning. It is always a privilege and an honor and a humbling blessing to stand behind this sacred desk. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I pray that you do, we will be coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And this morning we're going to be dealing specifically with verses 31 through 38. I was sharing earlier with both Pastor Chad and Clint that I had originally entitled this message, Love One Another as I Have Loved You, the very words of Jesus. And yes, it is fitting. But I told Clint I was going to call an audible at behind the sacred desk. I'd like to entitle this, And I would hope, you know, as we go through the sermon, you will see this. What's new? What is new about this new commandment that we're going to be dealing with this morning? So let's just see how the Lord works all this out. And we're just going to give Him the glory through it. But before I read the scripture, I'd like to pray. Would you bow your heads? Father, I am feeble and fallible. And I can't even stand behind this sacred desk without you empowering me to open my mouth. So do your work, Lord, in the hearts and the minds of your people through the preaching of the word this morning. Faith comes by hearing. May they not look to me or even see me behind this sacred desk, but fully hear you, see you, and know that these words come fully from you, nothing from Kyle. Kill that which is killing me. Raise up anew, only what you want, Lord. And that prayer's for all of us in this room. I thank you for every opportunity, Lord, that in the midst of being just so unworthy, you allow me to do this. And I can't do anything apart from you. So, Lord, have your way. And it's in Jesus' name we say, John chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. And this is Jesus, y'all. He says, therefore, when he had gone out, John says, he, Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. It is the night before Jesus is crucified. This is the context of this. The 12 apostles are eating with Jesus that most precious, important of all meals. Jesus had just said in John 13:21, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And let's imagine this for a minute. John was reclining next to Jesus and asked him in verse 25, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, probably in a low voice. I would say he just wanted John to hear it. I'm just trying to set the tone here in a very low voice. Well, only John could hear it, since Judas and the others, and he had left, and they had no idea what was going on. Judas leaves. Everybody else is doing what they do at a meal table. John's leaning on him and asks him that question, and Jesus just kind of leans over to him. And this is going on. This is verse 29. Jesus says, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. That's verse 26. Then he dipped the bread and gave it to Judas and said, what you are going to do, do quickly. That's verse 27. And then in verse 30, Judas leaves. And the next thing Jesus says in verse 31 is, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And at the very moment when the final betrayal has been set in motion, at that moment Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now that the final process of being handed over to be killed is in motion, now the Son of Man, Jesus, will shine with the greatest glory, and God will shine gloriously in him. Of all the disciples, I want y'all to think about this. Only John could at this moment feel the full amazement at this. John had heard Jesus say that Judas was the one, the betrayer. At that moment, he must have been utterly stunned. Judas? The one we've trusted with the money? All 3 years? Verse 29. And then suddenly in a flash, think about it. A whole cluster of Judas's peculiar behaviors take on a whole new meaning. I can imagine John saying, so this is why he gave Mary such a hard time for anointing Jesus with the expensive ointment. In John 12, verses 3 through 6. He wanted her to give that to Jesus so he could have access to it. I mean, I can just imagine all these different things going through John's head. So John watches Judas leave, and he can't believe what he's watching. And while John's mind is churning, think about this. The incredible news that Judas is a betrayer and may be doing his foul work at this very moment, he hears Jesus say, now is the Son of Man glorified. Think about that for a moment. And then there's another boulder that happens. It's thrown into the churning waters of John's mind. Glory. Now, Judas, betrayal, glory. And in what must have been one of the most emotionally charged moments of John's life, the next words he heard was, little children, what is so precious about this verse here, little children, is in the Greek, it's technia. Verse 33, the first part of it. Little children, beginning at verse 33, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Right into verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. you also are to love one another. And then verse 35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if, here's a condition, you have love for one another. John 13, 33 through 35. Little children, I am going where you cannot come. I am leaving you. Up till now, everyone knows you are my disciples because they see you following me around Judea and Galilee. You've put your life on the line by just being identified with me. But now, I will not be here any longer for you to follow. Following my physical presence will not be the mark of your discipleship anymore. So I give you a new mark, a new commandment. Love each other, little children. So here's John. Think about this for a moment. Man, I have been blessed. And the longer I'm in this, the more I'm able to place myself in the scripture and just begin to get emotionally involved in the authorial intent. Chad and I was talking about this morning. Think about this, man. When you're sitting down, boots on, boots off, reading scripture, just a little side note to help y'all in y'all devotional and study time. I've got really two types. I got the boots on where I'm going through all the word studies, checking out all the verbs. Just in the verbs, I can see everything. And then the boots off where I'm just reading long lengths of scripture and cup of coffee in my hand. Just placing myself in the text, in the geographical area where they walked, where this is being talked about and shared, and where this gospel is happening, and John is writing this and about it. It has just blessed me. So I would hope that would help y'all this morning. So here's John with his heart bursting with conflicting emotions. Betrayal has been put in motion. The glory of God is about to be seen. Jesus is leaving them, and in his absence, love for one another is to bind them together and bind them to him. And in a moment of conflicting and intensified emotion, Jesus reaches for a word of singular affection and calls them all little children. Verse 33. Does this tell us anything? I think it tells us that this moment in the life of John, the apostle, it was so profound and so moving and so memorable that it left its mark years later, not only on the writing of this story, but on his entire first epistle, 1 John. And in 1 John, I believe, therefore, becomes our earliest and most authoritative commentary on Jesus' new commandment. Let's consider a few things this morning. The word little children. It caught me off. I didn't even know this. Technia occurs only here in the Gospel of John. Now, there were other places it could have been used, as when Jesus called out to the disciples in John 21:5, children, do you have any fish? But that's a different word. It's paideia. Only here does Jesus call his friends little children, technia. Not only is this the only place this word is used in John, it's the only place it is used in the entire New Testament, except for one book, John's first letter. And there it is used 7 times in 5 chapters. Just as Jesus called his friends little children, the Word became John's favorite name for his flock. Little children. A coincidence? Y'all know I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointment. But perhaps. But let's consider this. Just a few things. Nowhere else in the New Testament does the term new commandment occur outside this story, except in John's first and second letter. Of all the New Testament writers, only John picked up on this term. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. I'm reading out of my Legacy Bible this morning. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, verse 8, he says, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So I feel constrained to believe that John was profoundly moved and shaped by this moment at the Last Supper. And the connections with his first letter incline me to think that the earliest and most authoritative commentary on the new commandment, John 13, 34 and 35, is what John says about it in his first letter. This whole letter's about it. And here are two striking things about the way John handles Jesus' new commandment. First, nowhere in any of his letters does John refer directly to the love of Jesus for his disciples. So he never says, love each other the way Jesus loved you. He always talks about the love of God for his children. Think about that. The love of the Father. When Jesus comes into the picture, the point is, God loved us in giving Jesus for us. And when it comes to the one we should model our love on, John doesn't say, love like Jesus. He says, love like God. 1 John, turn a page over to chapter 4. Look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What are we to make of this? What I make of it is that this is exactly the way I would expect the writer of John's gospel to talk. As John thought back on that moment, leaning on Jesus' shoulder, watching Judas leave, that conversation, the betrayal in motion, the glory of God about to shine, Jesus leaving, love binding, what overcomes him, I believe, is the thought, I was leaning on the shoulder of God. God had put Judas in motion. God was about to be glorified on the cross. God told us to love each other like Jesus, that is, like God. So in his first letter, I promise y'all, John isn't minimizing Jesus when he puts all the focus on the love of God in Jesus. He is maximizing Jesus. This Jesus who gave us the new commandment and told us to love each other the way He loved us. This Jesus is truly God incarnate. And John could not get over this truth. God was loving us there that night. God was loving us the next morning. Every act of Jesus, the Son, was an act of God, the Father. John is not saying the love of Jesus is not important. He is saying the love of Jesus is the love of God. So when the new commandment says, love each other as I have loved you, it means as God has loved you. And here's a second striking thing about the way I believe John handles this new commandment. Jesus said in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I believe John, no doubt, pondered very deeply the phrase, my disciples. And what must have happened for that to be known? My disciples. And what he concluded was that being a disciple means truly being born again. To be a disciple is not just some outwardly aligned to be outwardly aligned, I'll put it this way, with a Christian church or a Christian movement. We talked about a movement going on through Livingston. Good things, but are they really God things? To be a disciple is not just an outward alignment with a church or a Christian movement or even Christian name. But it's miraculously changed by the Spirit into a person with a new heart of love for the Father and for Jesus and for His followers. And of course, here's key, for His enemies. But John's emphasis falls on loving fellow believers here, just like Jesus did in John 13:34. That you love one another. And love is how you can know that this has happened to you. It is impossible to say one loves God and not love fellow brothers and sisters. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:7. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. 1 John 3:14. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. 1 John chapter 2, 9 and 10. Or as Jesus says in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All people will have good evidence that we are born again, born of God, and know God, and are children of God, and are in the light and no longer in darkness by this love for one another. People will know that we are truly a disciple of Jesus by whether you have been given a new heart of trust in Jesus and love for His followers. And please hear me when I say this. I don't put the word trust here just because it's the right thing to do. I included it because when John thought about the new commandment, he knew that the new commandment was not an isolated commandment to love, but a commandment embedded in the call of Jesus to trust Him as the sin-bearing Lamb of God for everything we need. And we know that because John said in 1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment, singular, it's singular here, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as He commanded us. So precious, y'all. In other words, in John's mind, Jesus' command to believe on Him and His command to love each other are inseparable. Let me say that again. Jesus' command to believe on Him and His command to love each other are inseparable. So together He calls them one commandment. It's singular. This is His commandment, singular, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. People won't know you are a disciple of Jesus if you make no profession of faith in Jesus. But if you declare yourself, hear me, church, if you declare yourself openly to be a disciple of Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, your treasure, then your love for others will be decisive in showing that you are real. Are you a true believer? Are you truly a disciple? Is He really your treasure? Have you really been changed by Jesus? They will all know if you have love for one another. So when Jesus says in John 35, by this all people will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another, He meant love confirms that your profession of faith in Me is real. Why is it that love proves discipleship? Great question. Why is it that when disciples love each other, there is such good evidence that they are true disciples of Jesus? Why is this one another love so compelling? The answer comes, y'all, when we ponder why Jesus calls this commandment new. If we see what makes the commandment new, we will see what makes it have such compelling power to prove true discipleship, true faith in Jesus. The commandment to love each other in itself, y'all, is not new. Leviticus 19:18 said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And what appears to be new is the way we are to love, namely as Jesus loved us. Now think about that. That is what makes this completely new. Look at 34b, the second part of that verse. Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Never before had the Son of God come into the world and laid down His life for His people. They had never happened before. This is new. That had never happened before. This degree of greatness, making this degree of sacrifice, had never happened. This is new. So Jesus is simply saying, if you imitate this kind of sacrifice in loving each other, you will be fulfilling the newness of this commandment. Why do you think Jesus said, love your wife, fellas, as Christ loved the church? It's sacrificial. It's a sacrificial love. This whole new commandment is about sacrifice. It's not about us. It's all about Him and His people. We are to love sacrificially. It's new. This is new. If you imitate this kind of sacrifice and loving each other, you will be fulfilling the newness of this precious new commandment. If we listen to what John says in his first letter about what makes this commandment new, we see there's more going on. And I use the word imitate, but there's more going on than imitation. Here's the way John puts it in 1 John 2:8, if you want to look at it. It is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in Him and in you. It's truly new in Jesus, and it is truly new in you. Why? Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. In other words, what makes this love new is that it is the arrival of the glory of the Lord, the light of the world, that will one day fill the earth as the water covers the sea. When the Messiah comes and brings His kingdom, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. And Jesus is the Messiah. He is coming, was the dawn of the kingdom of God. He was the light of the world, and He said in verse 31 that this night the Son of Man would be glorified and God in Him. This night the light would shine most brightly when He lays down His life for His friends, little children, technia. And then John says in the next verse, 1 John 2:9 and 10, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Amen. This became so profound for me. And I pray it does the same for y'all. In other words, what makes the disciples' love for each other new in this commandment new is that they are not just copying the light. They're in the light. They are in the love of Jesus. This is how John sees the newness of this love. Profound. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. That's what happened that night and the next morning. And John says, that's what makes that new. And what makes the commandment new is this love was and is the arrival of the light of God, the glory of God, at the end of the age to fill the earth. And the commandment for us to love each other, just as Jesus loved, was not mainly a commandment for imitation. but for participation. John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. When we love each other in obedience to the new commandment, we are loving each other with the love of Jesus. His love is being perfected in our love. This is not mainly imitation, but for participation. This is not mainly for imitation, but for manifestation. Our lives are in Jesus, in the light, and our love is His love. Not only for our fellow believers, but for a lost and dying world. And when that love is manifested in the midst of a crooked, ungodly generation, my sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. They will come. Because they will see His love in us. Jesus comes back to this in John 15. And makes the meaning crystal clear. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 12 and 13. Yes? And how do we love like that? Look at John 15, 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. This is our newness, church. This is the new commandment. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Yes, but not by copying my fruit, but by connecting to my vine. You don't mainly imitate, you participate. Your love for each other is not a simulation of mine, Jesus says, but a manifestation of mine. You are the branches. I am the vine. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit and prove to be my disciples. John 15:8. This is how all people will know you are truly my disciples. So, the reason the love we have for each other shows that we are truly Jesus' disciples is that it is only possible because we are grafted into the life and the love of Christ. We love as He loved because we love with His love. So, body of Christ, precious Salem Baptist Church, my little children, in these crucial days, these historic days, in the life of our precious church, this is what Jesus is calling from among us. Just as I have loved you, that you, body of Christ, love one another. Let's go low in foot washing. Lay down your lives. Lay down your privileges. Love your brothers across all racial and ethnic lines. Love the weakest and the oldest and the youngest. Love the disabled. Love the lonely troublemaker. It is certain when you love that you cannot atone for anyone's sins. Don't ever think that. But you can do something like it. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. How blessed the church, especially the church in transition, that loves like this. passage in it.
But we conclude the service this morning. I want to thank Brother Tom for bringing us the word from John 13. And you notice Jesus says that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is expressing his love for his disciples. Growing up, I was like in the army and trying to be like a manly, guy. And to tell somebody that I love them just feels like a sissy kind of thing to do. But when the Lord saved me, and I came to realize that Jesus says, I love you, go love one another, come to appreciate that it's not a sissy thing, it's actually a very masculine thing to both to display love and affection towards one another, but also to verbalize it like the Lord Jesus Christ does. So thank you for that, brother. I want to encourage you to, this is a very applicable sermon for each of us, to go and to demonstrate acts of love, both within the body of Christ, but also in our own homes and our family, recognizing that that is a form of evangelism. But also, not only that, but it's just what Christians do. We love one another. It's part of God giving us a new heart. When he gives us a new heart, he gives us a desire to love one another. So I'll leave with that word of encouragement. If there's anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the preaching of the word, or maybe through personal reading of the Bible, or talking with others, or praying, you feel like you need to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, he says, come. He says, do not delay. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I would love to speak with you after this service, if that's the case, if the Lord is pulling on your heart. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your love that you did send your Son to die for sinners such as us. What a great display of love. He walked among sinners. He stepped outside of the norm for him being in your presence where sin is not there. And he came in and lived in a world that's fallen. He obeyed every commandment perfectly, and then he went and sacrificed his own life. And even more so than that, he bore the wrath of his Father for sinners such as us. Lord, such that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will have no guilt, will have all of their sins forgiven, and will be able to stand before you, Father, reconciled in our relationship with you, and having our debt that we owe you wiped completely clean. There's no greater message in the entire world than this great gospel that we're able to proclaim. So we thank you, Father. We pray that you bless our afternoon as we continue to maybe think about the sermon that we heard, as we have fellowship with friends and family. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified as we seek to love one another just as you have loved us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.